Toyota's CEO Akio Toyoda testified on Capitol Hill yesterday.
Well, I didn't want to be him yesterday.
I haven't wanted to be him for a few weeks now.
Yikes.
Striking a very contrite and remorseful tone, Toyota stressed again his company's commitment to safe vehicles. He spoke in English in his opening remarks before he switched over to Japanese and used the services of an interpreter while lawmakers questioned him.
In the past few months, our customers have started to feel uncertain about the safety of Toyota's vehicle, and I take full responsibility for that.
Let's return now to Michael O'Brien, staff writer for The Hill. Michael, you were at yesterday's congressional hearings. The lawmakers were a little less confrontational. They pushed back a little bit less than we expected on Toyota. Is that because of language difficulties?
Yeah, the translation between Mr. Toyota and the congressman really sort of slowed down the pace of the hearing, allowed for maybe a less confrontational atmosphere. Still, it really got testy at points, and lawmakers were clear in showing their frustration at Mr. Toyota and Mr. Inaba.
Did Akio Toyota offer any new information, new details on the incident to kind of satisfy some of the questions and confusion that's been going on?
Well, yes and no. He said that, you know, because he had become CEO of the company in only June of 2009, he was only privy to some information. He said he first was aware of the acceleration problems in December of 2009, but lawmakers were a little skeptical of that. They wanted to know more about when the company was aware of its sudden acceleration problems.
And did he explain why that had been going on while he was president, but they had no one had told him for 6 or 7 months?
Right. It was Mr. Inaba who really fielded this a little bit more. He's the head of their North American operations. And what he blamed was sort of a diffuse infrastructure within the company that really hindered them from being able to connect the dots in their sudden acceleration problems in different lines across the world. So they're pledging a greater effort to try and coordinate their global brands and identify problems sooner.
Well, as you said, Toyota did not give any definitive answer as to what's causing sudden acceleration problems. I imagine not getting an answer to that question is not going to satisfy Congress. Michael O'Brien is a staff writer for The Hill. And I want to bring in now Deborah Hayden. She's the managing partner in Japan for Kreab Gavin Anderson. It's a corporate communications consultancy. Deborah, a lot has been written about the so-called the Toyota way. They have 14 guiding principles that have been actually emulated, copied by other corporations around the world. And in the Toyota way, they insist managers actually get out from behind their desks, go and see and solve problems at the source. But there's little in those principles that actually talks about communication coming from the ground up.
Hi, Celeste. No, that's certainly a very good point to start with. I think as in any crisis, it's always hard for bad news to move up a company. It certainly moves up very, very slowly. Your natural human reaction is to think, gosh, you know, is there something I can do to solve this myself before I, you know, at least bring a solution to my boss? And I think in Japan and in many other Asian countries, this is slightly compounded by the Confucian principles of respect for your superior. So, and we've got a society here where it's actually really difficult to actually bring up a problem to your boss where you actually don't know the answer. So I think this is probably one of the things that's played into the situation. I think another thing here too, and you mentioned the word communications, is that the way that communications sort of fits into, you know, business continuity planning and crisis planning in Japan is a little bit different. Certainly their business continuity plans, for example, if a generator breaks down, you know, how do you get the plant up and running again, you know, tried and tested to perfection. But the communications aspect of where this fits with, if there's a problem, is often a sort of a last-minute afterthought. It's like, oh, let's call in those PR folks and get them to give us a couple of bullet points about what we should do if someone calls us up. And I think compared to, say, companies in the West, particularly in a situation like Toyota, where, you know, you're making cars, which at the end of the day are products, if there is something that goes wrong, you know, people's lives are at stake. They should have been more prepared that something like this could happen, and that should have been not only a business continuity plan, but it also should have been a communications plan going right in lockstep of what do we do, who do we talk to, who are our key audiences, who are the right people to communicate this. And that should have been something that had been etched on people's brains, not sitting in a manual that was sort of gathering dust in the back of one of the cupboards.
And you may have really touched on what's really at heart here, because certainly this the recall of these cars, while tragic in their situations, is not extreme. Ford Motor Company actually holds the record for the most recalls of any automaker since we've been keeping records. But there was a mismanagement of the PR of this recall. There was a mismanagement not only over how they handled the problems when they first discovered them, but also how they handled the press when they were released to the public.
I think, we've had a very interesting situation here. Part of it goes back again to Japanese corporate culture, where there's, if you're, one of the company soldiers that has been there since you graduated from university, you're one of the insiders. And it's very important. It's like being part of a family. They'll look after you. You're part of a family. You've got, the guiding principles and the ethics to uphold. And so it's very hard for this group to actually admit outsiders. It's hard to have somebody come in who's not part of that inside group, for example, an outside consultant. It's hard to get a third perspective on some of the issues. Most large companies of a similar stature in the US, for example, would have an army of PR and kind of public relations and public affairs advisors who would be always on standby, who would know the company backwards, who would know, be ready to jump to an issue when it was needed. This isn't the case necessarily with many Japanese companies, and particularly not with Toyota.
Well, let me ask you about the corporate culture there. Having the most important CEO of the largest company in Japan called to answer to American lawmakers, is that an embarrassment for CEOs and executives and the corporations in Japan?
This is certainly, I think, a very unusual situation. It's the first time this has happened for Japanese companies. But, Japanese executives do get called into the Japanese equivalent of Congress, the Diet, from time to time to explain situations as well. I'm glad he went over. I'm glad he went and talked to Congress. And I'm glad that he's sort of standing at the head of the company and now communicating, which is, what he should be doing.
Okay, Deborah Hayden is a managing partner in Japan for the Craig Gavin Anderson Company. It's a corporate communications consultancy. And we also spoke with Michael O'Brien, a staff writer for The Hill, talking about Akio Toyoda's appearance at a congressional hearing yesterday on Capitol Hill.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.